I'd like to go through an interesting theme. Maseches Rosh Hashanah, one expects a Masechta to talk a lot about what we know as Rosh Hashanah. Like we expect Sukkah to speak a lot about Sukkahs. And Pesach can speak about Pesach, which it does. Rosh Hashanah, what we understand of Rosh Hashanah, of being the major day that everything is Nigzaron and Nichtovim, is mentioned very, very little in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. In fact, there's a Mishnah in Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph which just rolls it into the other times the world is judged. But Arba Parokim Ma'olim Nidrin, says a Mishnah. Pesach ala Tvur. On Pesach the world is judged on Tvur. But Teres on Shavuos, it's on Peres Ilon and the fruits of the tree. But Rosh Hashanah, what we know as the Rosh Hashanah, Kol Boya Olam, all those creations of the world, Oivrim Lafon of Kivnei Morim, passes by Kosh Baruch Hu like Kivnei Morim. Now Kivnei Morim is something that is not quoted anywhere else in the Mishnayos. And the Apostle says, Shnema Hayotzi Yachalimah Maivin Kol Maseim, HaKosh Baruch Hu has created the hearts of each one, he understands all their actions, and Ubechag and Sukkos Nidoinim Alamayim. That is it. That is as much as the Mishnah talks about the Din on Rosh Hashanah, and then he starts talking about the different Dinim of the Shofaros, etc., etc., in the next Parokim, but it does not talk about the Din. This is the only mention of the Din. And the way that the Mishnah describes a Din is Kol Boya Oilim Oivim Lafonak Kivnei Morim, we all pass by a Kodesh Baruch like Kivnei Morim. Seems to be that this line in the Mishnah is sufficient to give us understanding exactly what happens in Rosh Hashanah. What is it all about? It seems to be that is sufficient. The Mishnah holds it sufficient. And without investigation, without understanding it clearly, we don't really understand the what, the where, the how, the who. We don't really know understand what's going on over here. But the Mishnah seems to feel that's enough. So I'd like to work through to understand carefully what's going on over here, and we actually have a very, very clear picture exactly what exactly is happening in Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara later on, in Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, the Gemara asks, what does this Kivnei Moroin mean? What does Kivnei Moroin, what does it mean? So the Gemara has seemingly an argument between three of the Amoraim. My Kivnei Moroin, Yud Ches Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, Hoch Targimu Kibnei Amarna. Here it's translated as Kibnei Amarna. Now, what Amarna means is also not very straightforward, because you don't find that many places either. So actually, Kibnei Amarna means it's like sheep. Kavosim. Like sheep. Shemoinin oisim la asram. Where you count them in order to take maisim from them. Ve'yoytzim ze achazeb pesach kotin. In order to count sheep, the tenth one is maisa behema of the sheep. And therefore, you go through a very narrow and exit. And they can't all go out together at the same time. So they're all jumping over each other. One slip through. Another one slipped through the tenth one, you hit with a stick, you put a mark on it, and that's Maisa Behem. That's one way. So too, on Rosh Hashanah, we're all passing through, one by one, at least sheep pushing through in this path. That's one pshat. Rish Lakish says a different pshat. Rish Lakish says, Kamalois Beis Maron. Kibnei Moroin is a lotion of Kamalois Beis Maron, is a high place Beis Maron. What's pshat in that? Says Rashi, Haderech Katzer. In this context, it means the path is very narrow. And it's impossible for two people to go out at the same time. Because the emek, the valley, is very deep. In other words, it has very deep drops on either side, and therefore you have to walk very carefully, one person at a time. And so too over here on Rosh Hashanah, each person walks through very carefully along in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu one by one. And the final pshat the Gemara says is Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel kechayolei shebeis David. They are like compared to chayolei shebeis David. Said Rashi, what's the pshat in there? So he says, kuvnei moroin is a lotion of moroin, of marus, of adnus, of prestige. In other words, dealing with prestigious people. Vekachoy moin oisam, and that's how they count them. Yotzim ze achaze b'tzeisim l'chom. They count them one after the other when they went out to war. So there are three pshat. One is like sheep going through a narrow exit. One is going along a narrow path in a mountain, and one is the third pshat is like you count soldiers as a leaf of battle. Why is it so important that Amoraim have to argue in different pshat? At the end of the day, we're talking about one by one, going through in single file. Each one of them has just basically given a different example in Kibbnei Morin in what that means. Why is it important for us to have three different examples? So the Marsha is the first one to pick up on this. And the Marsha explains that it's actually what it means over here is the Mishnah is explaining to us single file, and the Gemara, the three Amoraim, are explaining to us who is being judged. All three examples is referring to three groups of people. The first group of people are the Rishoim. The Rishoim obviously are being judged in Rosh Hashanah, and they're like sheep to the slaughter. And you want to know which one's going to be knocked off this year? All these sheep are eventually going to be eaten at some stage. All going to be destroyed. The question is, which is Maaseh Behemah? But the first group of people judged on Rosh Hashanah are the sheep going through, sheep to the slaughter. The sheep are being counted, right? And that's the Rishoim who are being counted. The Rishoim are being judged on Rosh Hashanah. The second, and that's the first example of the sheep. The second example is going through a very narrow path. A narrow path, says Rashi, is also a case where you can either slip to the right or you can slip to the left. In other words, if you're very careful, you're just about holding there. But any move to the right or left, you're going to be either the right or the left. And he said that is the classic Beinoni. Beinoni right now is exactly in the middle. Any move to the right, he's going to be a Tzaddik. Any move to the left, he's going to be a Rosha. So the second example is the example of Beinoinim. That Beinoinim are also judged. And the third example, says Rashi, is Chayolish Beis David. You're dealing with the prestigious people going out to battle for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, battle for correct ideals and ideas. Those are the Tzaddikim are also judged. So these three Amoraim are describing to us who is being judged, and the Mishnah therefore is giving us an idea of who is being judged on Rosh Hashanah. The Tzaddikim, the Rishoyim, the Beinim, and the Tzaddikim are the three examples. That's one pshat. Reb Chaim Volozhiner has a very beautiful pshat in this. And he says, the Mishnah is not telling us who is being judged. The Mishnah is telling us on what we're being judged. On what are we being judged? And he says like this. He says, Amarna is a very unusual word. And Amarna can also be translated as Amira. To speak. To speak. He says, what this Mishnah is telling us over here, and Amoraim explaining to us, is their unique perspective, not arguing with the other one, but it's their unique understanding of what the Mishnah is trying to tell us. The first Amora is telling us, you should just know that when we are being judged on the Rosh Hashanah is on Amarna. Amarna is our speech. And our speech, which means that we don't sometimes realize the impact a few words can make. We can understand, you know, if you hit somebody, if you destroy something, if you do an action that is actually positively, actively terrible, yeah, you can understand how bad it is. But I just said something, a bit of litzonus, a bit of sheker, a bit of this, a bit of that. We don't take our speech seriously. So the first Amora says, you should just know in Rosh Hashanah, it's Amarna. It's all about what we speak about. It's about the speech that we don't realize, we don't take seriously. And he says most of the Averis, most of the hurt people have is from the put, what you have, what you call foot and mouth disease. They open the mouth and put the foot right in it. And that is, unfortunately, a very, very common theme, that people don't see that by speaking something, it makes such a difference. I'll give you an example. The Ben Ish Chai says, the Pasuk says, Ki hine yetzer horim uvoy v'racha, Kodesh Baruch Hu created mountains, and he created the wind. Umagid la'odo masichoy, and he'll tell a person what their speech is. The Pasuk in Amos Dalad Yud Gimel. So normally we understand this to mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu will tell a person in Osilavoy what he spoke about. Masicha, what he spoke about. The Ben Ish Chai said differently. He said, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to create mountains and create wind? What's the idea behind that? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created mountains. Why? Because if you have a very smooth, we have a very flat area and you have very strong winds, the winds can destroy. As you know, the winds can destroy anything in its path. So there's certain winds, there are certain mountains there that stand up high that can cushion the effect of the wind, that you shouldn't affect those hidden between the mountains. Fine, that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu created mountains. Next question is, so why create wind? Why create wind? What's the point of creating mountains to protect it from wind? Don't create wind in the first place, we need mountains. So he said, the answer is La Magid La Odom Masichoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created wind, which is not something you can see, but you can feel the effects of wind, the enormous effects of wind, in order to tell a person La Hagid La Odom Masichoi, to enable for it to be an example to a person what power their speech has. And so therefore that's Peshat. La Hagid La Odom Masichoi. Masichoi means what effect does your speech have? And therefore the first thing you've done in Rosh Hashanah is on things that we don't even take so seriously. Ah, and he's meant it as a joke. Don't take it so seriously. The story of Itzhak Zalman Meltzer. Itzhak Zalman was one of the biggest Rosh Hashivas, and Gaon Adir, an incredible tzaddik, a tremendous God. Look at Sefer Evan HaOzel, a genius. In the middle of his shiur, a boy who generally did not ask many questions asked a kasha. He asked a kasha, and Itzhak Zalman listened to the kasha, and he was quiet, and he shuckled and he thought, and he said, you know what, very, very excellent kasha, whatever I said in the past, let's push to the side a second, let me think and have another teretz. And he started giving a new mahalach. So after the shir, a bocher came to him and said, Rashiva, the kasha the boy asked him, to lack a better word, was a klotz kasha, a ridiculous question, could have easily answered it. Why did he say yes, you're right, and start giving a new mahalach? What's this all about? He said, did not see outside the window was open. Outside the window, there were two people listening into the shir. I imagine, this boy has never asked a kasha in the shir. He's a boy probably being checked out by a future father-in-law. And the father wants to hear how this boy is reacting in shir. So suddenly, here we have a quiet boy, suddenly he's asking a kasha, completely out of character. And now I'm going to say, you idiot, listen carefully, you hear what I do? So now, I took it very seriously, and now changed my mahalach. Imagine what this is going to do for this boy. Imagine how this boy is going to have a future. That's a godel ma'asichoi. Ma'asichoi means, what is the effect of him speaking? That is one of the dinim on Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh Hashanah is the ma'asichoi. That is one level of judgment. The second, says Rechaim V'lozhina, is kivnei morin. Kivnei morin, he explains like this. He says, Rashi explains, kamalas beis maron. What's kamalas beis maron? Kamalas beis maron means, the levels, a high level of piece of land. What does that mean? He says, don't think for one second that two people are going to be judged the same way. Each person on their level is judged completely differently. You know, I come to the base mensch, I learn 3 hours a day, and it's more than anybody else. Shkoyach. Imagine if Chaim Kanievsky learned 3 hours a day. Yeah? It's that. He kept, fantastic, he kept the whole Shulchan Aruch, he never stole from anybody, he knows Mishnah Berurah, he's not Mechel Shabbos. Yeah, and he learned 3 hours a day, undisturbed. Terrible, a disaster. But imagine a balabos who has to make a panosa, who doesn't have those opportunities, and he manages it for 3 hours in a day. It's unbelievable, it's incredible. So each kivnei morin, says of Chaim V'lozhina, is a way of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges. He judges each person in their particular level. And no two people are the same. You know the famous maaseh of the Netziv. Yeah, the Netziv was a young boy. Netziv, when he finished his sefer Hemikdover, he made a massive suda. Hemikdover is worthwhile working through, but he made a massive suda. And I asked him why he made a suda. He said, "I'll tell you a story. When I was a young boy, I was a shavav. I was messed about, and my parents were not wealthy at all in any means, and they hired a private rebbe for me. And the rebbe worked on me, and I wasn't interested. One day, the parents said, 'We're wasting our time with this boy. Wasting our time, he's not willing to learn, not interested. Let's at least make him an Elech Yid. Let's at least give him an honest trade and be a shoemaker. And we'll teach him a trade, maybe he's able to make a panos, but a Talmud Chochma is not going to be.' And little Naftali Tzvi heard about this and he ran into his parents and said, 'No, please give me another chance. Let me have another chance.' And he said, 'Imagine after 120, Rebbein Shoinim will come up to Shemaim. I'm a very honest shoemaker. I made very honest shoes. I didn't overcharge people. I did a good job. And Boy and Shem would say to me, 'Naftali Tzvi, where's a Hemik Dover? What? Where's a Hemik Shela? What? And all the others for him. What are you talking about? Here's my pair of shoes.' HaKadosh Baruch Hu judge him for not being the Nativ, being the biggest Rosh Hashiva. A shoemaker, that's what he can do. Gesundheit, fantastic, wonderful. And therefore, it's more, kivnei morin is where you are holding at your peak. Where are you standing in the world of potential? That is how a person will be judged. That's the second way of how a Kodesh Baruch Hu judges. What is the third pshat in the Gemara? The third pshat in the Gemara is Chayolis Beis David. Chayolis Beis David, it's not clear exactly how Racham Lodzov learns it. I think he's learning like this. Chayolis Beis David means that you can have somebody who a lot is expected from them. In other words, he has reached stage two that a lot is expected from him. But within himself, although a lot is expected from him, there are certain actions that the impact of those actions will be much stronger one way or the other in where and when he actually acts. For example, Chayolos Beis David, imagine an officer is going through training, and as he's got the bullets whizzing around past his ears, he runs off from training. He can't take this training anymore. He runs off, disappears. A couple of days they look, search for him, they find him, and he's at home, you know, on his hookah, and then he's eating garanim on his mepesa there. So what are you doing here? You're supposed to be in the middle of the Negev training. So there's too much for me. Too much for you. Get back here. They'll take him back, put him in the hot box there, they'll put him in thing. Look, they'll punish him. Day or two they'll punish him. Imagine this guy becomes now very successful. Took it very soon, he became very successful, became the general. And again, he's in the middle of battle there, and again, the bullets are whizzing past his ear, he's got fatigue, he's very tired, and he runs off now. And you find him 2 days later in the same place, eating garanim. Terrible! You deserted the army. Who knows how many thousands of people could have killed because of you? Which means, even in a person, in his own position, it depends what impact it could be. Like in an army, that certain times in an army things are calm, certain times the army is very, very busy. It's incredible. So the same person in an army, that very same person, it depends how the situation is to what impact it's going to be making, how he's going to be judged. A person takes off his talis and tefillin before the end of davening. Okay? Some people have to. But do you know what impact it is? Sometimes there's a kid who just put on tefillin for the first time and he says you should keep it to the end of davening. And he says, you know what? Let me look around if that's really true. He looks around, and a guy next to him, which happens to be you, takes up the talis and tefillin after Asherei Volitzin. So you say, you know what, whatever my Rav says, it's not so important, so I'll start taking off. The rest of his life, he starts taking off tefillin then. Right? So that's a major impact. Sometimes nobody's even noticing, it's not such a big deal. And therefore that, Sivach Chaim V'Lozhin, a Kachiolos based David, is another Amoira, understanding the depth of how we're going to be judged. Either it's the Dibur, or the level that we are, or the impact of the actions that we do. That is Racham V'Lozhin's Peshat in understanding the three different interpretations of this Gemara. You know, I'll give another example, a famous, beautiful story of Ramosha. Ramosha Feinstein went through Shas. They say Ramosha Feinstein finished Shas over 300 times, and he finished Shulchan Aruch over 400 times. Somebody once said about Ramosha's got an excellent memory. So Ryaku Kamenetsky said he doesn't have excellent memory. Somebody just finished Shas a few weeks ago. And he's done it, he doesn't have an excellent memory. He's just done it so many times, and he's just done it so recently, it's not called an excellent memory. Right? I heard the details of this story a little bit better now. In his neighborhood, Ramosha's neighborhood, there was a Chiloni boxer, a professional boxer. And he kept nothing, and this boxer had a son who was Chose B'tshuva. Became a Baal Tshuva, and he went to the yeshivas, and he was able to learn. His father got older, and they retired him off. Couldn't train anymore. They retired him off, and this Nebuch, this guy who was, you know, who looking for action-packed days, was bored stiff, painful. See, one day, he says to his son, "That's it. I've had enough of this. I want to start learning Gemara." So he said, "Dad, you can't even learn Aleph Beis. You know, your grades are low respect. You've got this cabbage ears. You've got this broken nose. Yeah, you haven't even learned Aleph Beis. Do me a favor. Leave it for the professionals." "Nope, I want to learn." "Okay. Dad's bigger than him. He's got more, you know. He's not starting up with Dad. Okay, I'll sit and learn with you." So he starts going through painfully, going through Aleph Beis. And the time he gets up to Yud, he's already forgotten Vav. And eventually he gets to Aleph Beis. Baruch Hashem, now he's reading. And then he starts learning with the Mishnais. And he starts explaining him a piece of Gemara. After one year, he was able to finish one Daf Gemara. So the father said, "I want to make a Siyum. I want to make a seam, a daf gemara, I'm going to make a seam." So the son said, "Dad, a seam you make on a mesechta, you finish off a whole seder mishnayas. A seam, no, let's learn more. You know, we make a seam." "No, for me it took me holy, I want to make a seam." He said, "No, You know what? Let's go and ask Rabbi Yishai. Went to Rabbi Yishai Feinstein. Rabbi Yishai Feinstein said, of course he can make a siyum. This is an incredible accomplishment. Of course he can make a siyum. Not only that, please tell me when he's making something. I'd like to be there. And Rabbi Yishai Feinstein went to the siyum of this man. That night, this man was nifta. That night, this man, after the siyum, this man was nifta. And Rabbi Yishai came to the Levi the next day. And he said, Yesh koina oilomoi bedaf echot. This person fulfilled his tachlis. He learned at Daf Gemara, and he fulfilled his tachlis. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein had learned Shas 300 times, been through Shulchan Aruch, the God Lahador, but that was what's expected for Rabbi Moshe. That was his tachlis. What was the tachlis of this guy? To learn one Daf Gemara. That was his tachlis. So can we compare ourselves? We're doing very well compared to everybody else. We kivnei morin, we're a different level. We're in a different level of who we are. Kamala's based morin. That's Peshat over here. So one pshat is, who is being judged? Tzaddikim, Beinonim, and Rishoyim. Another pshat is, are we being judged on the little speech we speak, saying who we are and the impact of our actions? Rabbi Yitzchak Blaser has another pshat. There's another, get three more pshatim. Okay, Rabbi Yitzchak Blaser has another pshat. Rabbi Yitzchak Blaser in Koich Ve'Ori says that this. So the Gemara says that there's a certain time where Kodesh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel, whatever this means, Kaviyochel, gets fed up. Kaviyochel. He's standing there in judgment, seeing one after the other, and Kaviyochel, Rabbein Shalom, is fed up with what he's seeing. He's upset. This person's not doing what he should be doing, this person's not living up to the mark, this guy did this aver, and he gets fed up. And as the day goes on, Kodesh Baruch Hu gets more and more angry with what he sees. And therefore, the maila is, if you can get in early to judgment, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel, I'm not sure what this means, but Kaviyochel, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still beginning of his judgment, you're doing very well. And Gemara talks about this, Al-Pikabole talk about this. Again, I don't know what he means, but all he means is, I know that such a fact exists, and so Yitzchak Blaser, therefore, these three examples are when HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges. Not how and who, it's when. He said, when a Kodesh Baruch Hu judges it is a day. And therefore, how do we get in there early? How do we get into the beginning of the judgment? He said, the first Amora says, it's like the sheep. The sheep getting through this little entrance here. Who gets through first? The tough guys. No, there's a little entrance, a bunch of sheep, and the tough guy climbs on top, whoa, pushes his way through. He says, the first people there are the tough guys. The tough guys are the tzaddikim, and they have pushed their way through to become the greatest. They're the ones that get judged first. That's an example of the sheep who pushes his way first. The second example is a narrow path going from one place to the other. There, it's nothing to do with tough. The question is, who was there first? People who are there first, you know, sometimes they go to Ein Gedi, right? You go to a hike there in Nachal David, Nachal Aragot. It's a very narrow area. It's not the toughest guys are there. Sometimes you have very weak people there, but they happen to be going through the path earlier on. They're there in front of you. Right? So you said that's Peshat over here. Sometimes the ones who are going to be judged first are the ones who have prepared themselves earlier on for the judgment. They've been starting to be doing tshuva already earlier on. They come to Rabbeinu Shlom and say, Rabbeinu Shlom, I'm here. I'm ready. So they get another way of getting in early are those people who are prepared. That's a second example of Kibbnei Morot, Kamalas based Moroin, on a very narrow path. The third Peshat is, it's Chayolos based David. Chayolos based David means Rebbeinu Shleilam, these are people who are in Rebbeinu Shleilam's army. We have no idea. We have no idea sometimes why this guy's promoted, why this guy's demoted. It's up to the Rebbeinu Shleilam. This is Cheshbon Shemayim. We don't understand this. So Yitzchak Blaser said those three examples are different perspectives, who gets to the thing. But what does it mean for us? I don't know who the strong people are, but we certainly prepare ourselves. I believe when people look for different skulas for Rosh Hashanah, one of the skulas that Gemara talks about is to be Asor Rishonim in Tefillah. If a person's one of 10 people Asor Rishonim in Tefillah, he gets a Schar Kulam. Can you imagine being Asor Rishonim Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, where you have 200-300 people in Shul and you want Asor Rishonim, you get a Schar Kulam. So you prepare yourself earlier on, you can get tremendous Schar. Yeah, just make sure you see the guy walking up to the shul. You know, make sure you just dart in before him. Yeah, because you may be the 10th one. You never know. Okay, so this is again the question of when. Okay, so these are three perspectives of when. Of when a person is judged during the day, that makes a difference. Now, there's two pshatim, and these are pshatim which one is Rav Pinchas and one is my own. Rav Pinchas says like this. Rav Pinchas says, what is the idea that the Gemara has to explain to us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us individually? In other words, the only focus of the Mishnah is that we have a judgment Rosh Hashanah, and kol boya olam ovim lefanov kivnei morim. The Mishnah says that there's individuality over here that is very relevant for our judgment. If you want to get perspective of our judgment, it's about individuality. Why is it important for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to judge us individually? In fact, the Gemara says later on, even though it's individual, all judged at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kol yochel. Why can't Rabbeinu Shlomo judge us all at exactly the same split second? Why does it have to be individually? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't process that much information, Chalila. Rabbeinu Shlomo is a kol yochel. Rabbeinu Shlomo dealing here with Hashem Echad. So therefore, why is there an idea of being judged individually? On this, says the three Amoraim, the answer to this kasha. Why is it Kivnei Morim? Why does it have to be that we have to be judged individually? Says one Amoraim, because it's like sheep. What is sheep? Sheep don't have necessarily qualities one over the other. They're both bleating bundles of wool. You know, that's it. You know, they're not, wow, psh, this sheep, Gavaldi, a sheep. And this sheep is they're all bleating bundles of wool that be turned into chops one day. That's it. Yeah? So why do you count them? Because at the end of the day, it shows that each one has its own identity to an extent. Each sheep is a number within a group. And therefore, the Balabais, it's good for him, it's pleasurable for him to know that this year he has 500 sheep, when last year he had 400 sheep. And therefore, the new individual is choshuv. But it's not pshat this sheep is unique, it's not pshat this sheep is special, but it's counted, it's choshuv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the first Amora says, the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts us individually in Rosh Hashanah is to show that we are choshuv to him. That we're not just one Klal Yisrael, that we have a chashibus. And Rabbeinu Shlom is careful to show us that, and therefore he wants to count each person by themselves. He wants to look at every single individual and count it separately. That is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it. To show the ava, to show the love, to show the appreciation. I'll give you an example. Shmuel Pinchas says like this. He says, individuality. Imagine a father goes to yeshiva and he says to a bocha there, do you know my son, Yankel Cohen? Yeah, sure, no, Yankel Cohen. Have you seen him around? Do you really want to see him today? Yeah, sure, it's my son. Well, Yankel Cohen, he's gone on a bit of a teal today. He went on a teal. I happen to know he went. He took his backpack and he went on a teal. It's the middle of the mom. Yeah, he went on a teal. But wait, what are you? Don't get so upset. Don't get so upset. Yeah, they look at the base manager. There are thousands of boys learning. So Yankel Cohen's not here. There's still thousands of Bochrim learning here. Yeah, but it's my son. It's Yankel Cohen. Ah, is he? Are you in mishpacha with Beryl Cohen? Sure, that's my other son. So what's wrong with him? He's learning Steigenway, Hashem. He's in front of the base medrash there. He's Steigenway. So Beryl's learning, so one son's learning, one son's not learning. But my son Yankel's not learning. So Rabbeinu Shlomo is not looking at us as a cloud, Baruch Hashem, with 3,000 guys in the yeshiva. If Yankel is not learning, there's a din on Yankel. Rachmana Litzlan, speak to a parent. And a parent, Rachmana Litzlan, loses a child through illness or an accident. And you go to the shiva, and people say the most ridiculous things at a shiva. You know, there should be the idiot's guide to shiva. I mean, it's like the things people say, Rachmana Litzlan at shiva, is just ludicrous, right? Imagine the person sitting, the father sitting there, and you know, his father sitting next to three sons, also sitting shiva for the brother, and somebody says, "Why do you look so miserable? You've got three other sons here." Sons, yeah, Baruch Hashem. I heard you've got daughters as well. So you got sons, so one less son. What are you talking about? Can you... But my uncle is not here anymore. So Rabbi Yishun comes to Rosh Hashanah. You've got Klal Yisrael. You've got hundreds of... Baruch Hashem, you've got millions of Yidden. Yeah, but where's my uncle? Yeah? That is the idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kivnei Morim, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu checks every single uncle. Where are you? What are you doing? And that is the individuality of the sheep going through. Each person is an individual. But that's not enough. Says the next Amora, that it has to be Kivnei Morim means not just the individual. You have to understand your individuality. You've got to realize how you are unique. Not Peshat, you are a single within a number. You are a single that has koichos within itself. What's Peshat? That's the next example. The Gemara says, you go single file. What's single file? Single file is one person walking there by himself. There's nobody else who can walk there on that path. Nobody else can walk on that path. Which means that Kodesh Baruch Hu created you yechidi. He created you as an individual because you have koichos as an individual. You are unique. Bishvili nivra ha'olam. The world's created for me, and therefore I have responsibilities. There's a beautiful story of the Alter Slonim Rebbe. Somebody came to Slonim Rebbe and said to him, Rebbe, bishvili nivra ha'olam. What does this mean, bishvili nivra ha'olam? Gaiva, what does it mean? See, he's a genius. See, he said that I'll explain to you what this means. There was an expedition that went out that the British government, the health authority, in the time of King George V, yeah, wasn't not so long ago, they sent over an expedition to Africa to find out, to learn the medicinal elements of different plants and herbs, and they sent over a professor to go and study these plants. So the professor was called in and was offered a huge amount of money for his research for 3 months in Africa, in the middle of the jungle. So they said to him, you know, anything you need, we'll lay on for you. It's very important to come back with information. So listen, I'm not going myself. I'm not leaving my wife and kids. I'm not leaving my wife and kids here for 3 months. I've got to go with my wife and kids. No problem. Wife and kids. Listen, I need people who are going to protect us. I'm not going to protect myself against a bunch of cannibals, right? Okay, we'll send you a security. I need people who are going to work for me with research. I need people who are able to write down data. I need people who are able to work through the process. I need people who are going to collect the herbs. I need people who are going to cook for the family. I need people who are going to schlep stuff. Bekitsa, this is a true Maisa Shahoya, a true story. The group that he sent because of this person, there were 60 people who went with this professor on this expedition. One night, it was a hot night, and you know, they hear the crickets and you hear the mosquitoes. And inside this tent, with a little light, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, there's this professor writing down stuff. So you come to the professor. One of the security guys comes to the professor. Said, "Listen, I'm here. I'm going to look after you tonight. Go to sleep. Why are you working so hard here? Go to sleep. I'll look after you. And, you know, get up the next day." He says, "I don't think you understand. If I don't work now, there's no reason for anyone else to be here. If it's not for me, everyone can go home. I've got to work now, otherwise I cannot possibly justify anyone else working here." Bishvili nivra ha'olam does not mean you're balgaiva. It just means that you have a responsibility. You have to be able to justify the world in existence because you are an individual that is worth building for. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made you an individual that the world is worthwhile living for. Well, everyone in the whole world is worthwhile because of you, therefore you have a responsibility to make sure that happens. Because Vnei Mar in the single file, there's nobody else with you. As an individual, you have tremendous koyach. That's the second pshat. The third pshat is kechayolis based David. Not pshat, you're not a number. Not pshat, you're an individual. You are a unique individual. You have an individuality that nobody else can copy. Every person in the army has a unique job. Some guys are working in intelligence, some guys are working in the Navy, some guys are working in the Air Force, people in the Air Force, some of them are pilots, some of them are technicians. Each person in the army has a unique job. And within that, he has potential and he has leadership qualities, or not. Yeah? But each person is a unique individual, nobody else. The army will not be the same without this person. And therefore, it's not being part of one big number. It is knowing the individual has a strength and knowing the uniqueness of every individual. That is Peshat Sezer Pinkus of these three things. The final Peshat is a Peshat that I believe to be Emes. Those three examples are examples of different kinds of mindset. Different individuals have different Yetzahara. One Yetzahara is a Yetzahara of being a follower. You get people who have no individuality, you get people who are don't know how to think for themselves, and they blindly follow. As we mentioned, they follow like sheep. They follow like sheep, and they see, like sheep, you've got a little path, you've got a little door open. This guy, this sheep at the back, has no idea why the sheep in front of him is going there, but they're all going there, so I'm going to go there. Yeah, everyone's buying an iPhone 8 today, whatever it is, yeah? Or 6, I don't know what it is, right? Everyone's doing it. But why do you need? Everyone's doing it. You know, you're not part of this world unless you get this, or unless you wear this, or unless I do this. And if you stand up and say no, I'm not talking about iPhone, mate. Burns stand up and says, in a group, I don't believe it's right to be doing. I don't believe it's right to speak badly against this person. I don't believe it's right to act in this particular way. Come on, don't be such a fool, man. A guy backs down easily. The first judgment you're going to be judged is: are we sheep? Are we sheep? Are we people who are just blindly following the fashion, blindly following what we believe? Are people who are, or are we thinking for ourselves? Are we being able to stand up against the society and say, no, this is wrong, I'm not doing this? That is the first Yisrael. That's Peshat Gemara, like sheep. That we judge like sheep going through a path, just blindly following. Is that what we're doing? That's the first thing we judged on. The second thing we judged on is the exact opposite. You get people who don't follow at all. You get people who are individuals. They're individuals. The whole shul is writing a Sefer Torah. I'm not going to write a Sefer Torah. I don't think it's important. The whole shul, the whole society is giving to for the tzedakah. I don't think I need to. Everyone dresses in a particular way because they believe that's important. I'm an individual. Not always, you know, it's not always wrong to be an individual. But there's a certain time where you have to know that it's al tifresh min atzibur. Don't separate from the tzibur. The tzibur is doing something, become part of them. Right? So the second Yetzirah is, the first Yetzirah is to be the sheep. These are people who are doing wrong by being sheep. The second, says the Gemara, is a person who is standing by himself, says Rashi. He's standing. Kamalis beis chayron, says Rashi. Haderech kotzav ein shnayim yuchaydin leilich zeh betzadzeh. You get people who can't stand next to other people. They are individuals. I have my own das. I das, Torah says differently. Okay, he's a rabbi, and I'm a rabbi. He's a greater rabbi. Greater, not greater. One day I'll also be great. I'm not willing to hear the das of somebody else. Ein yuchaydin lam zeh betzadzeh. I'm not standing with anybody else. I'm an individual. That is a second problem that the Yetzer Hara manages to push us sometimes, and that is the second Amora of a different issue that the Yetzer Hara has with certain people, that they are total individuals not following the Mahalach. What's the third one? Chayolos Beis David. Chayolos Beis David is like this. Chayolos Beis David is pshat that these people are going out to the army, and Rashi says these people are great people. Yeah, the kach choyam moinin oisam, this is a kind of yotzim ze achaze. But Tzeisel and Muhammad, they go after one after the other when they go out to war. What's Peshat over here? Now, are these people of Chayolos Beis David going crazily after the wrong thing? No, they're not. They're going out to battle. So they're not part of group one. Group one is sheep dead, just pushing through, doing crazy stuff. They're not part of group one. Are these people individuals? They're not individuals. They're not doing something different. They're part of an army. So who are these Chayolis Beis David? Says Rashi, Chayolis Beis David, you count them, Shoholchin ze achaze. They're going one after the other. I want to explain that this. Why are they going one after the other? Sometimes people are very happy that somebody is in front of them. I'm happy to go after you. After you, sir. Yeah? There's a fantastic thing to do. And it takes guts, and it takes strength, and it takes perseverance, and it's difficult to do. I'm happy to be part of the group. I'm not willing to volunteer. I'm not willing to be somebody who's going to be the big man behind this. You count them one after the other. You're all following in one group, but I'm quite happy to you to be in the front line. I'll stay behind. I'll stick behind. I'll be the guy helping from behind. Not every person can lead every project. And not every person should lead every project. But there are certain things in life a person has an obligation to stand up and say, I am the one, I'm here. Hineni, I am here. To answer the call of Rabbeinu Shlomo of Hineni. And that's Chayolos Beis David. If a person doesn't do that, he'll be taken to judgment for that as well. And those, I believe, Rabbi Isai, is what the Mishnah is telling us. The Mishnah tells us what's Rosh Hashanah all about. The Mishnah has now told us the what, the who, the why, and the how of all din. Who's being judged? Everybody. Tzaddikim, Rishoyim, Beinoinim, everyone. How's it being judged? Or what is it being judged? It's being judged on even Dibur. It's being judged on who you are and what actions, what impact it has. The other Peshat, the third Peshat, is when are you being judged? I'm being judged according to where I push my way in. Either you're in because you're the strongest, or you're in because you're prepared, or you're in because of some kind of calculation of Shemayim. The fourth Peshat is the idea of being an individual, understanding that you're not just a number, understanding that individuals have strength, and understanding the power of your individuality to make impact in the world. And therefore, when we're standing in Rosh Hashanah, it's us and Kodesh Baruch Hu, Sein chelkeinu b'soira sechel, give our chelik in the Torah, our individuality that's going to make a difference. And finally, as we said, it's the idea of different times and different people have different yetzirah. Some people are just too willing to follow, and they shouldn't be following. Some people are individuals, and they should be within a group. They should be following. They should be part of a group. And some people are part of a group, and some people are following, but they are too happy to be passive. They should be more active. That is what the Mishnah is saying. And Be'ez Hashem, if we get this clarity in these points, and we work on them, Be'ez Hashem, Hashem should give us all a ksiva v'chsima toiva, shonot toiva m'sukah, a wonderful, healthy, and successful year. And just what Yisrael Blaser says, what is the idea of the Maisa Behema? He said, Maisa Behema is where animals pass through a gate, and the tenth one, you put a thing you put a bit of paint on his back, right? So now it's got paint on the back. What's going to happen to this animal? It's going to be shechted now. It's going to be taken, right? So here he is, grazing with all the other sheep, not knowing there is a little strip on his back. And the sheep are not clever enough to tell him, by the way, there's that thing on your back. He doesn't know that. What is his way of getting out of this? If he goes into the river and he has a little swim around, then that thing of paint on his back will come off. That is our avoider in Aseres Metshuva. If we do have a thing on our back, and we are marked, we can go to the Tahara Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Tshuva, and get into the water and get that little mark off us, and not be recognized as being Chalila, somebody who's going to be wiped out. We should all have tremendous Yat Shmai and Brocha and Atzlocha and all our endeavors.
Amen. Amen.